How are you today? Let's go right to the White House. You know, it's very interesting. We have the Constitution. We have various checks and balances in our government. But our founding fathers missed one thing. What if the president is a delusional douchebag? What do you do then? Is there a delusional douchebag clause? No, there isn't. Here's an interesting question. If there was no collusion by the president during the election, could there be collusion now with the president and the president of Russia? New collusions.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's not me that's making it weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Did you know that?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you so much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Hey, some people may say, Ron, you can't call the President of the United States a douchebag. Well, first of all, yeah, you can, because that's one of the freedoms that we have. Yes, Ron, but it's disrespectful. Oh, did you take a look at who's in the White House? That's Mr. Disrespectful. I didn't call the president a fat pig or a liar, which he is both. But if he can call people uproariously horrible names and affect their reputation, I should be able to do that too. Or is this a dictatorship where the president can do that, but I cannot, and the people of the country cannot? See, that's where this becomes nuts. I've said this a long time ago, and I'll say it again. There has got to be some clause in the Constitution, or something that maybe can get passed, like rather soon, that says if the president of the United States becomes mentally insufficient and even stupider than thought, that you can do a job review and replace him. I, as an American citizen, voted. Now, I didn't vote for this Trump dude, but I was part of the job interview for that position. I didn't think that that man should be in that position. I voted against him taking that position and getting that job. By the Electoral College, which is a place I don't go to, this Trump guy won. By the popular vote, he did not. So the fact that he won is fine, but his job performance is suffering greatly. if you sit down after a year, like any good company does, and then you review the person that you hired into position, maybe you're a board of directors hiring a manager, or hiring even the president of the company who is actually has to answer to the board of directors. That's the same setup. If he's not doing a good job and is starting to like make the company like lose a lot of money, or starting to make the company look really, really bad to the public, you fire the guy. And Donald Trump is no stranger to firing, because on TV, that's what he did. He sat behind a big mahogany table, which quite appropriately hid his private parts behind the table, and he would sit there and indiscriminately point at people and say, "You're fired, get out." A very nice thing to do. If you've ever been fired from a job, the person who points their finger at you and says, "You're fired, get out," is usually called a douchebag. Thus, I use the term loosely. This is the man you voted in as the president. We should have the ability to point to him and say, "Excuse me, you're not what you said you were. You're fired." Well, we don't have that ability, you see. That ability only comes at the time of voting. But here's the problem with that. Somehow we set it up where we don't vote again for 4 years. This guy's got his job for 4 years under contract. Who would think that's a good idea? 4 years of my life, that's a good percentage. A lot of destruction can occur in 4 years. A lot of destruction has occurred within not even 2 years yet. So is our American president colluding with the Russian president behind closed doors in a situation where they have a meeting, as they did in Helsinki, and nobody can be in that room with them, and whatever they discuss is private and quiet, and no one's really going to know what they really talked about? Could they have been colluding? The president of the United States colluding? Who would ever think that was possible? So all in all, I've spent another 5-10 minutes on this show talking about this man, and for that, I certainly apologize. Now, let's move on to bigger and better things, because everything is, better, but not bigger.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
I had a father-in-law. My parents were divorced when I was 13 years old. I swear it had nothing to do with me. And my mother remarried this very, very nice man. But this very, very nice man had one personality flaw, unlike the President of the United States, who has 2,000 personality flaws. This guy had one. And it was, I don't know how to describe it. Here's what he would do. He would walk into restaurants, and myself and my brother and my mother would go into these restaurants, and he would sit down, and he would order the food. He would say, "Well, I'll have the ribeye steak, please." And the waiter or waitress would say, "Very well, how would you like that cook?" "I'd like that medium rare, please." "Very well, sir." And this is a very, very nice man, this father-in-law that I had. His name was Joseph. And the steak would come out, and Joseph would look at the waiter and say, "I can't eat this." And the waiter would say, "What's the matter?" He says, "Well, this is, I asked for medium rare, and this is more well done." And you could see the waiter's face, in the sense that his face was saying, "Yeah, it is medium rare. It's not well done." But you can't argue with a customer in a nice restaurant. So the manager sometimes would come over and say, "Can I help you out, sir?" And Joseph would say, yes, I ordered a medium rare and this is well done. And the manager would say, well, we can take that back to the kitchen. And Joseph would say, yes, but then they have their food, they're eating it. If they waited for me, their food would get cold. This is really not a good situation. And eventually the manager would say, well, let us comp your steak then. We'll pay for your steak. You don't have to pay for that. And 90% of the time, Joseph got away with this. Joseph never admitted that he does this for a living, to the point where he'll go into restaurants and complain about the food every single time. He doesn't do it in order to get a free meal. I think he did it for two reasons. One, to like show his power and his ability to sit back and say, I am the king and I do not accept this steak as presented before me by the kingdom. Off with their heads. Or comp me the steak. I think he did it for that reason. It gave him this feeling of power. And that's at a young age when I learned what this feeling of power is. And that most people that have, Joseph had a good amount of money. For most people that have money, they get this taste of power. It is healthy to, I wouldn't say to be poor, but it's healthy to know what really counts. And when one is not real well off financially, they get a better taste of people and humanity and helping other people out and that kind of thing. People who have power, powerful jobs, a good amount of money, where they don't have to worry ever, they sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes become quite obnoxious douchebags. It can happen. Not everybody, but it can happen. Joseph was one of those. Joseph, as he told us, was the co-inventor of the answering machine. Not the digital one, the one that goes way back where you had to push the buttons. It looked like a cassette recorder. He was in on the invention of that. And that's how he made his money. The rest is history. He became an official douchebag. A nice man, but personality-wise, an official douchebag. By the way, he conducted himself in restaurants. By the way, he would go through public life and act like he was above them all and that he could command and snap his fingers. He was one of those annoying people, and I hated this. I wanted to hit him in the head with a plate. But when he wanted in a restaurant, the restaurant was apparently where he carried out his power moves. He would take his fingers and snap them and he would hold his hand high in the air above the table and snap his fingers. And he thought that that was a good way of signaling over the waiter or waitress to the table. There is not a more demeaning action in order to get your waiter or waitress over to the table than holding your hand in the air and snapping your fingers. That's demeaning to anybody. How would you like to have someone snap their fingers and you have to run over like some type of salivating dog that hasn't eaten in 3 weeks? It's demeaning. Joseph is no longer with us. I'm sure he's somewhere in heaven or hell snapping his fingers for service. I don't know. He was not a horrible man. He was very good to my mother, very kind to my brother and myself, but very demeaning to society. He had a need to exert his power and to display it. And I found that to be a very distasteful action, a very distasteful delusion and personality quirk. And I believe that the President of the United States owns this problem as being one of his many mental illnesses. So I just thought I'd bring that up. And again, it's specific to certain people, not everybody. But it happens. It happens. Some people actually go into business doing things like that. Yeah. Yeah. Some people actually do. Why? There's Thompson St. Thompson. We run commercials for him all the time. He is a bastard. And he actually admits it.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
There you go, there you go. The original music of Jason Shaw is what's been given to us by Jason Shaw himself. We thank you so much, sir, for your fine musical composition, such as the one we're listening to in the background, and our opening theme as well. The lovely and talented John Shanahan, whose voice can melt butter, if you want your butter melted. Otherwise, not so much. John does our comedy commercials and our introductions and all of that stuff. Nicole Reed, she's British, and she lends her voice to our program as well. And there are other people behind the scenes, but they're never worth mentioning. If you want to get in touch with us, and there's no reason why you possibly would, you can email me at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If it's pleasant, or you'd like to be interviewed on the show, or make the show better in some sense, I will respond to you. If it's negative, or something that I don't want to hear, you'll never hear from me again on email, or even in the first place. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. That's your message there. No hashtag, just don't bother. If you get starved for more show, it's all over the place. The Podbean Network houses all our episodes, well over 1,000 of them. They're available anytime, right now. Go there and enjoy. You can go to newenglandbroadcasting.com. That's our official site. You can find us on Facebook at New England Broadcasting Ron Van Dam Show, or Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Amazon Alexa, whatever. We do this every single weekday, unless it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. But it's not, so if it's a weekday, well, we got a new show every one of those things with commentary that you probably will find disgusting and guests that you may find somewhat interesting. Well, coming up next, Chef Jeff is going to talk to us about eating natural foods and putting them into your recipes, and let's talk to him.
This is Jeff. How's it going?
Hey, it's Jeff Anderson. It's Chef Jeff Anderson who's joining us now. And we're talking about eating clean by using certain products as we prepare our meals at this time of year. Summer kind of brings on a different kind of food feel, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because there's lots of great products in the marketplace that you can introduce to your meals. But, you know, it's all about the quality of those ingredients. And, you know, summertime cooking, getting people around the grill outside. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, we tend to eat fresher things in the summer, I think, as well. So that comes into this eating clean concept. So how do we eat cleaner than we were?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say it comes down to the quality of the ingredients and the fact that they're minimally processed. When they are, they're going to taste a whole lot better. But ultimately, it comes down to great taste. And so, you know, I've got some recipes I can share with you today, but those recipes feature our Open Nature products, which you're going to find available exclusively at Shaw's and Star Markets.
Cool.
And the reason I like them is they're free from ingredients like MSG. Our chicken has no antibiotics or added hormones or preservatives. And that really shines through in the final taste of the dish.
So that does taste different when they don't inject it with hormones and they and it's raised differently. It actually makes a difference in taste then.
Yeah, I think there is. But, you know, it's not just chicken. It's things like our seafood. It's our shrimp, our scallops. There's other things, you know, that I really like to kind of, you know, cook with within the product line. It's our almond butter. It's our new ice cream, our egg. You know, to me, these are the products that I like to bring home and, you know, purchase with my own money and cook at home for my family and friends.
Okay. What is GMO? I hear the initials, but I don't know what it means.
Pardon me?
What is GMO?
Oh, genetically modified. So
okay, all right. Okay, that, enough said.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's important to note because it's real easy to just kind of take a step and, you know, just use that as a fallback. And so we've committed to removing those products from you know, these ingredients. It makes a big difference. And, you know, we care about what we provide for our shoppers.
Yeah.
And we care about what they put into the meals that they prepare for their family.
Yeah, and you're supposed to care what you put into your body. A lot of us don't, but you're supposed to do that. Okay, give me an example of a nice, clean, healthy summer dish.
Well, one of my favorite recipes, and I think it's something that everybody should try, is rice paper rolls. Rice paper makes great wrappers, and all you need to do is soak them in a little bit of warm water to soften them. In this case, I've rolled them up with grilled chicken, some avocado, cucumber, carrot, a little bit of lettuce. I've got a great dressing that features our new almond butter, blended with a little bit of soy sauce and rice wine vinegar. You can then make it as spicy as you want. If you want to add hot sauce to it or hot pepper, whatever. The reason I like these is they're fun. You can let other people pitch in. You can make them in advance. You put a damp towel over them and then take them to your, you know, party. They're a great entree, but they're also a great appetizer.
Yeah, sounds like a great appetizer, more so. I mean, what would you serve with that if it were to be an entree?
Well, you know, we're talking about clean eating. So a stick veggie salad is one of my favorite things because, as you mentioned, you know, it's summertime. There's lots of great produce in the market. So cutting vegetables really thin is easy to do, and you just pick your favorite vegetables. In this case, I like to use jicama and zucchini and peppers and onions. A key point, though, to any great salad is the dressing. So I like to use balsamic vinaigrette because it has a broad appeal. But to really kind of add like a chef dip to it, I'll blend it with an egg yolk. I'll get one of our Oak Nature brown free-range eggs. Take the egg yolk, put that in the blender with the dressing, and that makes it nice and creamy. And then you dress the vegetables And then you just really need to finish it maybe with a little bit of crumbled feta cheese and some fresh mint or basil or whatever your favorite summer herb is. It could be parsley. But it's a great way to introduce more vegetables into the meal. And really, I don't want to trick people into eating cleaner or healthier, but it's a great way to get more vegetables in the meal without people really noticing.
Great. What time are you coming over to cook?
I could be there. I think it will.
Couple hours, okay. It's a little bit of a drive, though, I think. One more quick recipe.
I think grilling fruit's really fun for this time of year.
Interesting.
The grilled strawberries is a really easy item to prepare. Grilling them concentrates the sugars in the berries. You can grill things like blueberries or blackberries, but I like to pair it with our new Gandalf's ice cream. You know, we're not necessarily talking about needing to cut calories because we've got really clean recipes for you here today. But our Scandalous ice cream is lower calorie. It's got higher protein compared to other ice creams. It tastes great. The vanilla bean is one of those things where it's a kid, you know, eat vanilla bean, vanilla bean ice cream as a kid, and it kind of solidifies that memory and that love of ice cream. But why not indulge it? The price point's really fantastic. It's a great value. I think everyone should eat ice cream every day, and I think this really helps you do that.
Perfect. Well, Chef Jeff says get away from the processed foods and do it yourself naturally and fresh. Where do we get more information about where we can get, well, I mean, we know it's Shaw's, all under one roof, but where can we get some recipes?
Well, you know what? You can buy these ingredients exclusively at Shaw's or Star Market, but if you go to Shaw's, or starmarket.com/opennature, you can find the recipes and lots of other great info.
I just went into a Shaw's earlier this morning, and as soon as you walk into the supermarket, the natural foods, the natural vegetables, the organic, are the first ones that you meet. And I thought that was a nice change, because you don't see that in other supermarkets, but you're presented first with the best and the freshest and in the organic. That's a nice touch. And I'm sure you'll find that at most, if not all, of your Shaw's and Star Markets. Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Okay, take care. All right, bye-bye. Thank you for that commercial for Shaw's. But nonetheless, interesting information somewhere sandwiched in there. I still don't understand the organic natural thing. I don't know why it's so much more expensive than the other stuff that they shoot up with hormones and drugs and all that kind of stuff. Seems like that's a lot more work than just growing an apple and picking it off the thing and putting it in a bag. I mean, that should be the less expensive, but for some reason that's called organic and that's the more expensive. And free-range chickens, man. Let the chickens walk around. What the hell difference does it make to you? Let them enjoy their final days of freedom. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm a member of humanity, but I don't quite understand the rest of the group. It's like my father-in-law, Joseph. Getting back to Trump, whom I never really speak about in any great length, what struck me when he was running for president, he descended down this escalator in Trump Tower, and they did some interviews with him in his Trump Tower executive penthouse up there. And he was sitting in this golden throne, and you could see that there was gold in the chair, in the arm of the chair, in the back of the chair. It looked like he was like King Edward or something, sitting in a chair. And there were gold lame tables behind him and gold columns. And the man was obsessed with the finer things in life. And that scared me. Anybody that displays their opulence in such a bold and outward manner, there's got to be something wrong with you. These are people who are like kings and queens who display their majesty and want everybody to see exactly how rich they are. As a matter of fact, if you said to Trump back then and still now, well, you don't have that much money, do you? he would get very mad and say, yes, I have a lot more money than you think. I am so rich. I'm richer than you'll ever know. It's like, shut up. What are you doing? What are you displaying to me that you're better than I am? And since the day Trump took office, he has said that verbally. I'm the smartest man on the planet. I'm a stable genius. I know more than anybody else. I have more money than anybody else. Donald, and I'll call you that by your first name in order to make a point. Donald, I've never met a stupider person, a less effective person, a dumber person than you. Okay, Don, enough of you. I'll get off your back for just a day, but I'll be back with more of your back. I don't have your back, Donald, because you don't have mine. All you have is your own back, and that is gilded in gold. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you at this point. I just don't. But I will tell you that I wish you peace. Join me again tomorrow, will you? Let's go through this together. We're going to need each other.